Turn your Bibles tonight to a verse that we will begin with, James chapter 5. And we want to look at two verses in chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This is an explanation of that verse and the phrase in verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A young man had been called to the foreign field. He had not been in the habit of preaching, but he knew one thing, how to prevail with God. And going one day to a friend, he said, "I don't see how God can use me on the field. I have no special talent." His friend said, "There are too many preachers now and too few prayers." He went. He went to the field. In his own room in the early dawn, a voice was heard. Weeping and pleading for souls. All through the day, the shut door and the hush that prevailed made you feel like walking softly, for a soul was wrestling with God. Yea, to this home, hungry souls would flock, drawn by some irresistible power. Ah, the mystery was unlocked. In the secret chamber, lost souls were pleaded for and claimed. The Holy Ghost knew just where they were and sent them along. You know, as we think of prayer, it's kind of hard to preach on prayer because it's easy to, but it's hard to because very few of us, including myself, succeed in prayer or pray as much as we ought. But you know, as we think about prayer tonight and the importance of prayer and the place of prayer in our lives and in the church, we are reminded tonight of the important a perspective about prayer. As the illustration made clear, that really prayer is one of the most important, one of the most powerful, most significant spiritual weapons that we have. And of course, we are America. And America is all about doing. America is all about producing something. And I think that the illustration is a great illustration of the fact that many of us put the emphasis on the wrong things. And we think that succeeding in life has to do with how many talents you have. Succeeding in life has to do with this and has to do with that. But really we are faced with what the Bible is telling us, the important, what we would call it, the prayer perspective. The prayer perspective. And that really, the most important perspective that we can have about the work of the Lord is that the work of the Lord is a spiritual work. That the work of the Lord is a battle against the forces of evil. And that battle is only won on our knees. That battle is only won on our knees. The man I believe that we are talking about tonight was J. Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission. As he early in his ministry thought about invading one of the most difficult parts of China that had never been penetrated with the gospel, truly was resistant to the gospel, he said, if we are going to conquer that province, we will only conquer it on our knees. And of course, as we think about that, we have to ask ourselves, is that really what we believe? I think we believe it intellectually, but I'm not sure that many of us really believe it personally or practically in our own lives. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds. Prayer perspective. A story is told, it's been told a number of times, that D.L. Moody went to London. And he was preaching, he was Congregationalist, he was preaching in a Congregational church there in London. And he was invited to preach, and he preached a message there with little results. And there's a lady in that church who went home and said to her elderly, these both were elderly ladies, his sister, said, guess who was in our church this morning? And she said, D.L. Moody. And and guess who's going to preach tonight? D.L. Moody. And she said something like, boy, I'm sure she didn't say boy. Okay. But she said that she was going to have to spend the rest of the day in prayer. And the story goes that D.L. Moody preached, as always did, messages that he preached, and that night there was a great moving of God. And as he came back to the States, he rehearsed the story to R.A. Torrey. And he forgot to tell the part about the lady praying. And as he told the story to R.A. Torrey, R.A. Torrey said, well, what was the difference? What was the difference between Sunday morning and Sunday night? And obviously then he told the story about the lady who was praying. You know, as I have read, and certainly a very controversial figure in evangelism is Charles Finney. And some of his theology was, his beliefs were way off base. Very erroneous. Many of his methods were questionable. But many times the story about Charles Finney, what part is not told about him is not told about a man by the name of Nash. I can't remember his first name. But Mr. Nash really was the key to the success of Charles Finney. And whenever Charles Finney would go somewhere, weeks before, Mr. Nash would spend days in prayer. In fact, if there was going to be a meeting anywhere, he would go at least 2 weeks ahead of time, and he would spend 16 hours a day praying for the meeting, and he would never attend the meetings himself. He was always praying. And he was the intercessor. He was the prayer power. And it's very interesting that when Mr. Nash died, Charles Finney left evangelism. He had almost significantly no results. And why? Because Mr. Nash, his prayer intercessor, the key man, was no longer alive. The prayer perspective. You know, they said Charles Spurgeon, one time someone came to Metropolitan Tabernacle and said, Mr. Spurgeon, I want to know the success of your ministry. You probably heard the story. And he said, well, let me tell you. And this was Sunday morning. And he went downstairs of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And there he went to a room. And he showed him a room. There was 200 men. I think it was his 200 deacons who every Sunday morning spent the whole morning in prayer while he preached. He said, this is the secret of our success, not me. He was eloquent. He was knowledgeable. He was brilliant. He had a photographic memory. He could write out, quote, verbatim, whole pages of the Puritan writers that he read when he was a teenager. He was brilliant. But he recognized the key to the success of his ministry were men who had a prayer perspective. Let's think about this a little bit. As we think of prayer in the church, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Here we find a great truth about prayer. We find a great truth about the simplicity of prayer. We find a great truth, chapter number 3. I think that's where I want to be. Chapter 2, verse 18. For through him, that's Jesus Christ, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Of course, here's a great verse about the Trinity in prayer. We're praying unto the Father. We're praying through the Son. And we're praying by the Spirit. You know, it kind of makes it pretty clear and simple, you know, that prayer is really very spiritual. You know, we ask ourselves, well, why don't we pray? We know we ought to pray. And we make all these commitments to pray. But why don't we pray? Well, of course, we could say many things, but I think it kind of puts it pretty simple here because prayer is very spiritual. It's very spiritual. We're praying to the Father. We're praying through the Son. We're praying by, in the sphere, in the power, in the leading, and the direction and the unction of the Holy Spirit. You know, if you could put it in simple terms, I think what it's saying is that prayer is a real reflection of our real spirituality. It's a reflection of where we are spiritually. You know, we aren't really, prayer doesn't really necessarily come natural, to the flesh. Now, it does come natural to the Spirit. The Bible says He's given us His Spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have that sense of ability and desire to come to the Father. But, you know, in our flesh, we don't have, the flesh doesn't have any desire to pray. The flesh doesn't really see any importance of prayer. Maybe when we're broken, you know, the flesh gives in. But really, praying is spiritual, right? When do we pray? We pray when we're close to God. Or do we pray when we are feeding the flesh? Kind of simple answer, isn't it? We have no desire to pray when we're feeding the flesh. If somehow there was a prick of our conscience to pray when we've been feeding the flesh, there wouldn't be any power to pray. But the prayer is really a spiritual thing. It's really has to do with our real walk with God. That's probably why prayer really, in some ways, is so simple but so mysterious, is because it really has to do with who we are spiritually. And prayer really is a reflection of what is happening in our soul. I like that verse in Zechariah chapter 12. It speaks of Israel, and it speaks of the end of the tribulation period, and it speaks of them turning to the Lord in the end of the tribulation period. But I love this phrase, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Here he says he's going to give to the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Huh. It's almost like prayers are going to be pealing out of their hearts as they turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we get a little insight into the spirituality of prayer. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit taking place in our lives. It isn't something that's manufactured. It's something that is wrought in our souls by the Spirit of God. Perhaps you would say that would be related to many times the amount of time we spend in God's Word. It is related to our submission to the Lord, related to our need for God. You know, if we aren't giving ourselves to God, if we are not wanting what God wants, there's no need for prayer. And if we don't want God want, if we don't want what God wants, well, then we aren't going to have the spirit of prayer either, are we? Because prayer comes from the Lord. As we think of that, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Chapter 6, actually. We know prayer is important in the ministry. We know that prayer is important in the church. But here is a little statement that I think kind of puts it in a summary statement of really probably where the real need starts. Notice chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I think this gives us some direction that really prayer starts in the prayer closet. Prayer starts in the personal prayer closet. This kind of is really on top of my mind. Maybe a week ago, one of the men came to the church came to me and said, "You know, Pastor, I think I know what the problem of our church is. And I can say this from personal experience." He says, "I vacated my personal prayer closet a number of years ago. I have been too busy." I have been too busy. Now here's a person who doesn't miss a service. Here's a person I doubt ever misses reading his Bible. Here's a person who probably goes visiting every week. But he said, "You know, I think I know the problem or the great need." He says, "I sense that many of us have vacated our prayer closet." Prayer starts in our private, personal life. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. The second place of this, I think we have some teaching here, is that not only is the power of the church in the private, personal prayer closet, but the power of the church, in many cases, don't take this wrongly, is found in the men having personal prayer closets. And I think that is, I think that's pretty significant, because typically, it is the man, as the breadwinner, gets up early in the morning, works hard, comes home at the end of the day, is tired, and, you know, life is full of a multitude of things, and, wow, it takes a lot to occupy that prayer closet. First Timothy 2, I exhort therefore that first of all prayers, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Wherefore, verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The next verse tells us that this role of prayer is a special role of men in the church. As it tells us in verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. So we have the key is men praying. Men who pray in their private closet, men who make it a priority, first of all. I wonder, what would happen if just 10 men, every day met God in the prayer closet? What would happen if 10 men were in the spirit of prayer every day? I know this. Something would happen. Something always happens when God's people pray. Something always happens when people pray, because prayer is to the key to the ministry. Prayer is the key to the power of the church. Prayer is the key to the powers, breaking the powers of darkness. It's interesting what Sammy Tippett said about prayer. He's comparing Christianity behind the Iron Curtain before it came down and Christianity in America. And Sammy Tippett was definitely from a crowd that is more expressed today in the megachurch movement. But this is what he said. One can sometimes discern the spiritual depth of a work by what it takes to get a large audience. In America, we have bowed to the God of entertainment. If we want a crowd, we bring in a professional entertainer. We now even have musicians and comedians who see themselves as Christian entertainers. They may bless some Christians, but this will not produce an awakening that will shake the nation. A politician fiddled while Rome burned, and he blamed the Christians. Today, Christians entertain while the world burns, and we blame the politicians. We must see that the battle is the Lord's. The enemy is not politicians, humanists, or liberals. The enemy is that angel of light who deceives the nations. He can be defeated only by the kneeling church. As the church bows to the lordship of Christ, we are more than conquerors. Prayer. Very simple, isn't it? But it really isn't so. Because prayer really is very spiritual. It really has to do with where we really are spiritually. It really has to do with our walk with God. It really has to do with our surrender, our commitment to the things that are important to God. You know, prayer really has to do with wanting the Lord Jesus Christ to be glorified, wanting His will to be done. You know, prayer is very simple, but it's very spiritual. And when we aren't spiritual, it's really hard to pray. But the enemy can only be defeated by a kneeling church. Does prayer make a difference? James said, "You have not because you ask not." The Lord says, "Whatsoever ye ask in faith, believing, the same shall ye receive." Prayer makes a difference. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Really, it kind of puts our real faith in perspective, doesn't it? How about you, young person? What does your prayer life tell you about yourself? I think as adults, we wouldn't want to let anybody know what our prayer life is like, our life is like, because it would tell too much about us, wouldn't it? But prayer is the key. It tells us that we understand the real battle of life. Whatever takes away the spirit of prayer really tells us what is sin in our life, doesn't it? Right? You don't have to go, you don't have to do, you don't have to listen to 15 sermons. All you figure out is what takes away the spirit of prayer. And you know it's sin. You know it's wrong. You know you're on the wrong page. Because prayer is really the evidence of really what is going on in our life. And it's really the understanding, reveals the understanding of the work of God and the spiritual battle that we are in. I wonder what would happen if we would go back to our prayer closets. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight of a simple truth. And really, Lord, really, we don't really need to preach on it. There's really much that could be said. But in many cases, Lord, we know that not much needs to be said. And so, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, that we would allow you to work in our lives, that we would recognize that as a believer, that we all have this most wonderful opportunity to move the hand of God in prayer. Lord, we admit that we do not understand it, and yet that we know the Bible and history are full of examples where the God of heaven moved because the people of God prayed. And Lord, I know that most people in this room hunger to see souls come to Christ. Most people in this room desire that victories be won in many lives, including our own. And Lord, we need you to move in our lives, that we would be the people of prayer that we ought to be. And that somehow, Lord, the spirit of grace and supplications would come upon us, that we would be people of prayer, people dependent upon thee, people who seek thee. And Lord, perhaps people who need to confess sin and get things out of our lives that keep us from being people of prayer. And so, Lord, work in our midst, even as we close this service. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.